to share on the habits of a happy mom, I replied that he should have changed it to habits of a frustrated mom. Because I think so many times through parenting, it's more of a frustration than happiness. You know, you are so lost. But anyway, God has been gracious. Okay, before we go, or I go, into the sharing, I just want to read something to you, which I got from the email. And maybe as we listen to the answers from these second graders, we can relate to the answers as well. Why did God make mothers? The answer, she's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is. And another answer is, mostly to clean the house. Okay? Who's the boss at your house? Mom. You can tell by room inspection. She sees the stuff under your bed. I guess mom is, but only because she has a lot more to do than dad. What's the difference between moms and dads? Moms work at work and work at home, and dads just go to work at work. Okay? Moms know how to talk to teachers without scaring them. Yeah? Dads are taller and stronger, but moms have the real power because that's who you got to ask if you want to sleep over at your friend's. Yeah? Moms have magic. They make you feel better without medicine. True? If you could change one thing about your mom, what would it be? She has this weird thing about me keeping my room clean. I'll get rid of that. Okay? I would like for her to get rid of those invisible eyes on her back. Okay? And this one was sent to me in a plug by my son. You can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool mom. True or not? Okay, and I would also like to read a paraphrase of Proverbs 31 from a book entitled When I'm a Mummy by Ginger Fulton. And this is a paraphrase entitled, the little girl said, "When I grow up, I want to be a mummy, the very best mummy." And it's a paraphrase of Proverbs 31. "There will be a lot of things for me to learn, and the Bible tells me what I need to know to be the very best mummy. My children will wonder where their daddy found such a good mummy. Why my family would not trade me for even a whole chest full of sparkling jewels. My husband won't have to worry. Everyone will know I'm doing what is best for our family. My hands will stay busy doing things for the ones I love most. I may have to shop all over town to find the right kinds of food and good prices. To fix a good breakfast, I will have to get up early in the morning. We will have fresh vegetables to eat from the garden I plant. The fresh air and exercise will be good for me. I will be pleased with the things I get done. Sometimes I may have to stay up late to finish my work. But I must not forget to be kind to others, especially the ones who need help the most. I will make sure my family has plenty of warm clothes to wear long before winter comes each year. I will take time for myself too. I will want to look neat and dress pretty, and in my spare time, I can earn extra money at home. I will smile at each new day that comes. I will want to think very carefully before I say anything. My words should always be wise and kind. My family will tell me how much they love the things I do for them. Wow, they will say, "You're the best mommy of all. God will help me be the very best mommy someday because I'm going to do what He says." A lovely paraphrase. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, You are the one who guides us to be good mommies and also good parents. Today we ask that You bless Your word, and in the speaking as well in the listening, for it is Your word that gives life, and Your word has Your spirit upon it. In Jesus' name we pray. When Reverend Johnny asked me to share, the first thing that came to my mind was actually Proverbs 31. But the thing is, as the days went by, I felt that Proverbs 31 did not fit in with my sharing. It's an excellent proverb, it's true, but it did not fit in. And then I was wondering, what should I share? Because the bookstores are actually all flooded with books on parenting. The books will tell you everything about how to bring out your child. And I even had Benjamin Spock's book with me. Many of you are familiar with Benjamin Spock's. You know, and they tell us all the things of how we are to cope in our parenting. So I decided that I will not share on the habits to bring up a child the way the world wants. And at the same time, Proverbs 31 did not seem to fit in. But I will take two things from the Proverbs 31 to start the sharing. The Bible, the little girl said, "And the Bible tells me what I need to be the very best mommy." And the last verse, "God will help me be the very best mommy someday because I'm going to do what He says." And I think that sums up everything. And I was still pondering what to share, and God is always good. I always say that God is always good. And in my quiet time just this Friday, as I was pondering, I was reading Psalms 139, which all of us are very familiar with, about how we are wonderfully made in our mother's womb. These two verses, my eyes zoom onto these two verses. "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in Your word before one of them came to be. How precious to me are Your thoughts, O God." And you know, when I read that, I knew that that was what God wanted to share. That for all of us mothers, as well as all other parents, God knew our children even before they were born. And not just that, all the days were already ordained. God knew their future. God knew exactly what is to become of that little unformed body. So if we take our children to be so precious in our sight and in our homes, how much more God loves them. And God wants a great future for them. And how are we going to do that? I want to start from the end. Okay? You know, I love Agatha Christie books. I told the first service as well. When I was a student, I read as many of Agatha Christie's books as possible, and I would not sleep until I finished the book. But along the way, even as soon as a murder was committed, I was so curious to know who the murderer was. I do not know whether you have that kind of feeling. And I would read the back page first, the last chapters first, to see who the murderer was. And I was so pleased, you know, that I've discovered the murderer. Then I went back to the preceding pages and followed the sequence of how they came to find the murderer. I followed it. And therefore, this morning, that is exactly what I want to do. That I will start from the very end. What does God say? And then we will go into the steps from the beginning. Joshua 23:14. Joshua has this last testament to tell the leaders of Israel after they have received the promised land. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. Not one has failed. Proceeding to this chapter, Joshua 21, verses 43 and 44, tells us that God has given Israel the promised land, and he gave rest all around. And it also tells us that not one man among all the enemies stood against that. You know, it is just like getting an exam paper back from your children and looking at the exam paper, and my child has got 100%, full marks. You know, every promise, it says that God gave them the promised land, and he gave rest all around, and not a single enemy stood against them. Perfect score. And we as parents look forward to that kind of examination results from our children, don't we? St. Andrew's School exams next week. And all the parents are already on tenterhooks, that our children would do their very best. How about getting full marks in the examination of life? That is far more important. The promised land was the future that Joshua was working towards achieving all his life. It was the focus of his life and the target of all his efforts and strategies. What is the promised land for our children? What has God promised us for them? If we do not know what this land is, how can we help our children acquire it? Okay, the sequence. So where can we find our children's future? Jeremiah 29:11. Again, we are all very familiar with this verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. You can put it in your child's name. For I know the plans I have for Timothy, your beloved child, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper him, not to harm him. Plans to give him hope and a future. Jeremiah tells us, okay, that whatever the Bible says our children are, and what they can do and can have, is all their future, their promised land. How did Joshua do it? Very simple. God gave him instructions. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. And God did not stop there, thankfully. He went on to give very clear steps for Joshua. The following verse, Joshua 1:8. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Look, I underline mouth, meditate, and do, because these were the three steps that Joshua took to achieving the promised land. He spoke the word of God. He pondered on the word of God day and night. And at the end, he was careful to observe and obey everything that the word of God says. Ultimately, Joshua had resounding success. Not one of the promises of God failed. So if we want to raise our children to be like Joshua's, or if we ourselves want to become like Joshua's, we need to take God's formula for success and to apply it to their lives and to our lives. God was very sure, and he gave us these instructions for all parents, I believe, in Isaiah 59, verse 21. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit, who is on you, and my words that I have put in your mouth will not depart from your mouth, or from the mouths of your children, or from the mouths of their descendants, from this time on and forevermore, and forever, says the Lord. Three steps for us parents, very specific instructions. Number one, to keep on speaking the word of God. It shall not depart from your mouth. We have to keep on speaking it. And then get our children to keep speaking the word of God. The mouths of your children. And then keep our children's children to speak the word of God. There is power in the word of God. Get them speaking, but it starts with us. In our homes, mothers, we spend more time with our children maybe, although just now I read to you, we work at work and work at home, but somehow we manage to have time with our children. I started reading the word of God to Matthew as soon as he was born. Whether he understood or not, every night after dinner, I read a chapter from the Good News Bible to him. So much so that my maid decided that she also wanted to read the Word of God and asked me for a Bible. And I asked her what version. She said, the one you are always reading to Matthew. And Matthew was very good, even as a baby. He listened attentively. So I believe that the Word of God does have an impact on children. And when they were able to read, when both Matthew and Isaac were able to read, I spent every Friday with them just reading, first of all, the children's Bible and getting them to memorize the verses. And when we have finished the Bible, every Friday we read the book of Proverbs. And once we finished, we went back to the book of Proverbs. They were drilled in the book of Proverbs, actually. So much so, and I was glad I did that because some of you knew or know that my older son went to study in Singapore at the age of 12. And can you believe if I had not drilled him in the Word of God, what he might have become, I have no idea. But I was very pleased that at the end of his education in that school, and he gave a photocopy of his testimonial to me. It was a A4 size testimonial, that long. That's how Singapore does things, I think. And the very first sentence made me a happy mom above all the other things that were mentioned in the testimonial. And I mentioned it to the first service as well. The very first sentence, Matthew has a very high degree of integrity because of his Christian upbringing. And after that went on all his achievements. And you know, when I read that, I felt that I have done quite a good job. I was very happy. And I felt that, oh God, I told God, at least, you know, I have not failed there. Whatever, he was not an angel. He did a lot of wrong things while he was in Singapore until we were called to Singapore. But one thing the hostel warden told me when she met up with Fook Choy and myself, after telling us all the crimes that Matthew had committed, she said one thing. I must say one good thing about your son, he said. He never denied his wrong. He admitted. So because of that, she said, it was very much easier for me to decide what to do, because I did not have to probe and question a lot and, you know, do all the long sessions before he admitted. He said he never denied. One thing, when he was told, he admitted straight away. And I believe that the Word of God has a great impact on his life. And I pray that he will continue to use the Word of God as his guiding lamp and light. Okay? So does it work? John chapter 6, verse 63 says, "The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life." I want to tell you this morning that all the Bible scriptures, that's why I only flash the scripture verses, because I believe that only God's word will suffice. The flesh counts for nothing. Whatever I say this morning, you don't have to remember. But one thing you need to remember is what God's word has said. Okay? So if God says, you know, that we as parents are to keep his word going in our family, then we have to believe that it is because he said they are spirit and they are life. The words of God are spirit, and truly they are life. So when we speak the word of God over our children, the words will impact life and power into our children's life, changing them and giving them the future that God desires for them. That is what is said at the beginning in Psalms 139, okay? Were written in your book, okay? And God says, all he knows all the plans that he has for that particular child. All right, so we are shaping, when we use the word of God, we are shaping their future according to the actual words of God. And his word will be the lamp to their feet and a light to their path, leading them into the right directions, right decisions, right company, and eventually the right future. And at the end of the day, at the end of our day, at the end of my day, I hope that I can testify like what Joshua did. Not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled, not one has failed. You know, parents, sometimes we look at our children and we look at other people's children, and I often do that too. Okay, and we see other people's children succeed so easily, so fast, and here we are still struggling. But may I remind you that, you know, all fruit trees bear fruit at different times. I was telling the first service about the banana tree I had when I first planted. And it stood there, healthy and strong, beautiful leaves. The only problem was that it was not bearing fruit. And I was very angry with that banana tree. And I was wondering what I should do or what I had not done for it not to bear fruit. And then I remembered the incident where Jesus had, you know, passed by this tree that was not bearing fruit, and Jesus scolded that tree, for a better word. So I said, I'm going to do just that. I went to my banana tree, stood in front of it, and I told the banana tree, I'm giving you one last chance. If you don't bear me the bananas, I'm going to chop you down. And that's final. Okay? That's final. I literally spoke to the banana tree. Well, I'll see what happens. I told myself, you know, I'll see whether people tell me, you know, plants have life. They know. When you love the plants, they blossom. They give you flowers and all that. So this banana tree was a bit naughty, huh? So I had to sort of rebuke it. So I waited. I had been patient for so long. So it did not harm me to be patient for a little bit longer. And you know what? It bore fruit. It really bore fruit. So its life was spared. Its life was spared, literally. And now I had the generations coming up. We had quite a few, you know, bunches of bananas. But the initial one had to listen to me. Okay? And it obeyed. And now we have the continual bearing of bananas. Okay? So, you know, don't despair. Don't be discouraged. continue to read the Word of God, continue to use the Word of God, because I believe that the Word of God covers all areas of life. And all the parenting books can tell you a lot of things. What about the Word of God? The Word of God tells us that He has all the plans for the future of each person. Huh? Plans to give hope and to give a future. Okay, so that is the Word of God. And then the second area, I told it will be a very simple message. I don't want to overburden you. Two things only happy mothers need to pray, need to do. And the second one is to pray. Don't simply wait for incidents, crisis, you know, some urgent matter, and then you get down on your knees. I believe that praying systematically and consistently throws a divine protective covering over our children. Prayer unleashes also on our behalf the power of God, and it works in our children. Many things we want for our children are beyond human ability, but they are possible with God. Okay? When we sent Matthew over to Singapore, I told him, I do not know what goes on over there. All the things you do, I would not be able to know. You can hide from me, you can lie to me, but one thing I need you to know, God knows everything. Okay, and on my part here, I prayed. I prayed for him very much. So much so that one day I told God, have I neglected praying for other people? I seem to be praying only for one person too much. And then later I changed my prayer pattern again. And I find that one very effective way of praying the word is to pray the word of God over them. Why? Again, as what it was said just now, the Word of God is spirit and life. And Reverend Johnny just now said about being anointed, right? What an anointed worship we had. So the Word of God is anointed. And when we fail for words to pray for our children, what better way than to pray the Word of God? Because those are the plans of God for your children. They are what God desires for their future. Those are all the steps that lead them eventually to the promised land. God's word shall not return to him void. This is promised in the scriptures. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes up from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent. So from this, it's very self-explanatory. God's word will not return to him void and fruitless. Okay? It always accomplishes what God desires and what God pleases, and it surely prospers in the purpose for which God sent it. Take note that it is for the pleasure and for the purpose which God sent it. Not so much what we want for our children. We want our very best. True, we work towards that. And as I said, all the parenting books would have told you that. But I would like to emphasize that God's plan is always much, much better. For all the worldly success and prosperity or wealth that our children eventually might have, let me remind you that Job says, naked I came into the world and naked I will return. And what remains after all this is gone is only the word of God. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but my word endures forever. So that is the future we need for our children. When everything else is gone and spent, it is the word of God that will keep them into the promised land. We'll bring them into the promised land that God desires for them. Okay? So, parents, our prayers for our children will never be returned void or empty, but it will definitely succeed in achieving what God intends for our children to achieve. And what can be better than praying for our children using the Word of God? There are so many scripture verses that I use to pray over my children, and this is just an example. Okay, so this is from Galatians 2:20, "For I have been crucified in Christ." So what I did was to replace that with my child's name or your child's name. For example, Joyce. Joyce has been crucified in Christ. It is no longer she who lives, but Christ who lives in her. Or if you want to continue the name. "And the life which she lives in the flesh, she lives by faith in the Son of God, who loved her and who gave himself for her." And I pray using the scriptures a lot when I am short of words to pray. And especially when specific needs arise. Again, the Bible has every word for every specific need. Matthew will be going into exams also next week. And you know, every time his exam comes, early in the morning before I go to school, I will text him a scripture verse. Just for him to hold on to that verse throughout the entire day. Okay? To phone him is too costly. SMS is only 20 cents. So every day before the exam, I will text him. I spend 20 cents. But you know, the richness of the word of God is far more enriching than the 20 cents spent. Okay? And it bless him and to keep his mind also on the Lord in the midst of his exam. I asked him that day, Matthew, I said, "Have I been a happy mom?" I told Reverend Johnny I should change it to a frustrated mom. And he agreed. You know, he agreed. But at the end of the day, at the end of the email he sent me, "But mom, count your blessings." So I think this is good advice. You know, when we look at our children with all their faults and weaknesses, look for the good things in them. Look for their strengths in them and count the blessings one by one. I think it was Reverend Johnny or Reverend Andy who shared about counting your blessings. And I think even as we look at our children and with all their faults and problems and weaknesses, look for the good things to thank the Lord for. For indeed they are blessings. And our children are the blessings for us from our Lord. So this is not just for mothers, I suppose. It is for all parents. But I would like to conclude by telling you again that God has the best plans for our children. And if we want to know the promised land that he will lead them into, we ourselves need to know what is that promised land for them. So that at the end of the day, truly we can tell them, "Son or daughter, you know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed." And I close my eyes and go back to heaven. Okay? So God bless you and happy Mother's Day to everyone.